Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It's exactly 10 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us. It has been crazy, to say the least, here in Israel. It has been very, very challenging. I'd like at the outset to thank all our listeners, the staff at Chai FM, for the support, for the ongoing coverage, for the sensitivity in which things were dealt with, and for really just portraying what's going on here in Israel during the war with Iran, which was very short-lived, very powerful, and very, very impactful. From a business point of view, it was absolutely catastrophic. Businesses shut down, people didn't travel, a lot of people went back to working at home, but it was coupled with the fact that you had your children at home, you had your spouse at home, you had your normal regime interrupted. And then psychologically, the war ended, and so many CEOs turned around and said that they want everybody back in the office the next day. So you went from a corona-style lockdown to absolute freedom as one had prior to the war within a matter of minutes. And people found that very, very stressful, very, very difficult. A lot of people heeded the call and went to work because they felt that's what was needed and that's what the country needed. But at the same time, felt very, very disconnected, still harboring this fear and the paranoia, which was founded. So therefore, it wasn't paranoia, but this anxiety rather, as to when's the siren going to go? When are we going to have to rush into a shelter? Where are my loved ones? Where are my children? How's my elderly parent doing? How is my infant doing? My child was playing in the park. That type of worry now almost just lifted from our shoulders and we went back to normal. It was really, really challenging. If you just look in the food space, people who make a living from fast food, from food outlets, they were allowed to keep running, but they weren't allowed to have people sitting at them. So if you take a very popular coffee shop where people come and they sit and order coffee and a biscuit and a croissant and a sandwich, they disappeared. You know, they might have got a few takeaways, but unlikely that they really were able to keep up the turnover. And one person really said to me that it's been very, very challenging from that front. Take education, people involved in private lessons, people involved in the auxiliary benefits of education, for example, therapies. You've got children that are coming for host therapy. It's a very big issue, it's a very big concept here in Israel that a lot of children use it as a therapy mode. You can't have a child going to a place that's meant to be calm and relaxing and connecting when the parent is sitting there all anxious as to when they're going to run to a bomb shelter and where the closest bomb shelter is. So now you've got a child who so desperately is looking forward to and needs this therapy, can't have it. But the horses need to be fed, watered, looked after, and also treated. I arrived at the stables that I'm involved in on a Sunday morning, and I saw one horse was injured. And when I inquired, when the bombs, the missiles fell on Friday night, this horse got spooked and ran into a tree and cracked its skull. Nothing serious. It will manage. It will survive. But that is veterinary fee. So all of a sudden, you're not earning, but you've got more expensive. And this is just this unsettled feeling that's happening here in the country. Whilst all that was going on, it was just an uncanny occurrence at the same time that I got so many questions about costs on investments. I got it from existing clients. I got it from strangers. I got sent spreadsheets from people about what they are paying and what someone was able to give them as a lower cost structure. And I thought what I'll do today, coming out of this trauma of this whole war scenario, is rather just give over what I had spent the last 2 weeks doing in great detail, speaking to people about and discussing costs with them, and try give it over in a way that will, if nothing else, just alert you to the fact that there are certain costs in an investment. Some, quite frankly, are irrelevant, and some are very material. They really make a difference to your returns. They can eat into your returns in the medium to long term. So what we'll do is we'll break them down and we'll go through them. They could be somewhat complicated, but I'll do my best to separate them out and to make them as straightforward as possible. A while ago, a concept of EAC came out, which stands for estimated average cost. And that is a table that has to be uniform across all investment companies. Every company that has a license to take clients' deposits as investments, in order to show what the costs of those investments are. Now, if you think of your bank account, you know, or you should know when you look at your statement at least once a month, that you've got line items of costs. If you've got an overdraft, it might be an interest cost. If you've got, you'll have a bank fee, you'll have a bank charge. Maybe you sent money overseas, you'll have a forex charge. All these things are costs. Some are variable. In other words, you only incur them when you do that transaction, and some are fixed. The banks like to have a fixed bank charge. So you pay X amount for your bank charges per month so that you know what you're paying regardless of how many transactions you do, how many times you swipe, how many EFTs you do. It's a fixed charge. And then they'll charge you over and above if you do something out of the bundle, as they call it, for your charges. But at least you know what they are. It's the same thing when it comes to investments. Except for with investments, it's very often not a fixed rand amount. It's a percentage amount. So in other words, what is the value of your investment? Or what are you putting into your investment on a monthly basis? How many rands? And a percentage of either the first idea, which is the value of your asset, your investment. If you've got R1 million there, that R1 million, a percentage of that, and or the amount that you're putting in every month, R5,000, a percentage of that could also be a cost. And those are costs that are associated with it. And then you've got costs that run a little bit below the surface, so to speak, that one doesn't see and one doesn't interact with directly by themselves on an ongoing basis. One needs to be very careful, because one thing I hear all the time is that if I use a company like Allan Gray, for example, I don't pay fees. Allan Gray's EAC table is absolutely crystal clear. Have a look at it and you'll see that you are paying fees. What you mean to say is that if I invest directly with Allan Gray, which anybody can do, and Allan Gray says very clearly, they don't give you advice. You simply go on and you choose what you want. They will not charge you a commission that a broker or an agent or a financial advisor who is giving advice could charge. So that's where it comes in. So after the break and after a live read, I'm going to go and break down all those costs for you. And I want you to now start thinking about three different silos. You know, sometimes when you're driving in on holiday or into the country, you'll see silos next to a rail siding where they store different types of, you know, millies or wheat or whatever it is. Think about in your mind of three different areas of costs. And let's break them down. Each one works independently, and together put a at the end of it, on the right-hand side, put an equal sign, and that will give you your total cost of your investment. It's made up of three different sections, and when we come down, we are going to break it down. Craig, please take us to the shops. We'll be back with you shortly.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. And before we go into cost of investments, let me tell you that Discombe Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional help to help you manage your health risks. Whether you are having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Discount Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Discount Wellness Clinic inside your Discount Pharmacy. Better health starts here. And as Kathy just said, can you imagine if you stand on the corner and you scream and try to get your product out there? People are going to think you're mad and no one's going to listen. But if you do this, you're going to reach 125,000 people every time. See, if you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing special offer, and imagine Chai FM told you that 125,000 people are talking about it and listening to it. Imagine we also posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. Imagine you can do all this on a month-to-month basis. Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should be in touch to find out. You can email info@chaifm.com or kathy@chaifm.com, or you can simply send a text message to 2761-895-1019. And we will call you right back. 101.9 Chai FM, 101 megahertz of building businesses together. Right, let's get straight into it. Let's get looking at the different costs that are associated with an investment. Before you start asking, let's try and break them down into two different sections. Let's talk about lump sum investments. So, for example, you leave your job, you've been there for a couple of years, you go to greener pastures, you get a better offer, you retire, you resign, and now you've got this lump sum that needs to come out of the pension or provident fund, and you want to invest it. Or you inherit some money and you want to invest it. Or you might be the lucky few who've saved up some money and now you want to invest it. I mentioned that there are three different silos that you need to look at as web costs. The first silo is something called investment management fees. Investment management fees. The next one is advice. In other words, the person who's assisting you, guiding you, coaching you, how much are they charging for their advice? And the next thing is the administration fees. The company that is doing the housing of your investment. So, for example, you might have a retirement annuity at Momentum. That is the administrator. Everything runs through Momentum. But the fund that you're using could be a Sanlam or an Allan Gray or an old mutual fund. That is the investment manager. And those two fees are independent one of the other. Now let's break it down. When it comes to investment management fees, put very simply, you don't pay that fee directly out of your pocket. So how do you pay it? Let's give an example. Let's say you are looking at the returns of a particular fund, and this fund has returned 10% over the last year, and 10% over 3 years, and 10% over 5 years. It's impossible that that will ever happen, but let's take a hypothetical scenario so that we can use it as an example to understand how investment management fees work. That return that you actually got is not 10%. It's higher. Because the investment manager took the fee that they charged you prior to telling you what the return is. So if I look at an example that I have open in front of me, we're using here what we call a fund of funds. In other words, it's a fund made up of different funds that tend to be slightly higher. It's 2.5%. per annum, per year. So if your first year return is 10%, you actually received a 12.15%. 10% plus 2.15%. But before the investment manager gave the returns, they took that fee off. So in other words, your return, the money that's come into your investment, is only 10%, not the 12.1215%. And then they sold units in your investment in order to pay the investment manager. The investment manager, so to speak, creamed it off the top before they gave it to you. So ultimately, as I said, some fees don't really matter that much. If you've got a particular fund where it's 2.15 and another person says, oh, ours is only 1.5, and therefore there's a nearly 0.6% difference between them, could be. That is the reality. But what are the returns of the fund? And look at it monthly over a while, and you'll see that if you may are in the same class, they'll tend to be much of a muchness. Yes, there are better fund managers and there are unfortunately worse fund managers, but you need to take that all into consideration. And there might be a reason why the fund cost, the investment manager cost, is higher. It might have a higher equity portion. The higher the type of the shares in the portfolio, the percentage of shares, the higher the costs tend to be. The higher the cash component, the lower the costs of the investment management tends to be. So you can really see how that works. And that is silo number one. And that silo is important to be aware of, but it's not a deciding factor. It's not a train smash. If it is ridiculously higher, you need to ask why. If the net returns of the funds are lower, well, then either the costs are too high or the fund's just not performing and the costs are too high. You need to ask those questions. And that's why we often pay the second cost, the second silo. And the second silo is advice. The person that you turn to when you want to know what's happening with your investment, the person who should turn to you and say, we chose these funds in the investments. I'd like to adjust it. I'd like to change it. I'd like to add something in. I'd like to take something out. Or please don't panic. It's external influences are affecting the fund. It's cyclical. These things will change. The person that holds your hand, so to speak, when you're going through that process. How does that person get remunerated? The remuneration for that person is paid by selling units in your investment. So every time this person needs to get paid, the excuse me, the administrating company, in the example we used before, is Momentum, would sell units in order to pay for that advice. So that advice is being paid directly out of your investment. And you can choose which fund in your portfolio you want to use to pay those advice. And a lot of people will say, I want my portion of cash. If I have something in money market or I have something in income funds, I want to use that section to pay those fees. And that's often because they are not subject to market fluctuations. We can set money aside. Certain companies have the ability that they'll let you know that it's being depleted and you can top it up. It has capital gains issues. It's just often a neater way of doing that. And that is your second silo. And here you need to ask yourself the hard and fast question. Am I getting value for the money that I'm spending? And it becomes particularly pertinent where you've had a relationship with someone and someone's looked after you and they've charged you an advice fee. It can be as high as 1.5% of the value of the investment and all the way down to what is the norm in most cases, 0.5%. So you've got a 1% leeway from 0.5% to 1.5%. Very easy for someone to come, you know what? They charging you 0.5%, we'll charge you 0.25%. if you've been getting good advice for the 0.5% that you're paying, and your funds are growing, and you have someone to speak to, person comes back to you, person contacts you when they feel changes should be made, you need to ask yourself whether you're setting yourself short for half, for quarter of a percent. Yes, it will have an impact on the end, but that impact can also be corroded and eroded with poor advice. So look at it in the bigger picture and understand what you're paying that advice for. Now we come to most probably what is the most controversial and often challenging one, and that's administration. Administration is the company, and the example we used before was Momentum, who's holding your investment. Every month, they space that to Alan Gray, or actually every day, what is the return on this person's money? We need to show the return online of the investment. We need to put money aside for the financial advisor, and we need to put money aside for our platform. And this is where you can get into a bit of a head-knocking scenario. You can get a scenario where a person will turn around to you, give you an EAC table, and say to you, our administration fees are zero. The first question should be, well, if your administration fees are zero, how are you making money? If you're not making money, how are you going forward? And how do you survive in order to administer my money effectively and properly if you don't have cash coming in? And this is where the waters start to get a little bit murky. You might see under that another line item that says other. And somewhere in the documentation, the other is administration fee plus this fee plus that fee, and it can be very, very low. And the reason why it can be as low as 0.1% is because often that's in a scenario where the fund manager and the administrator are the same people. So, for example, you're using a Momentum policy and a Momentum fund. And I'm not saying that's the case with Momentum at all, just giving you an example. There is a case where those advice fees, so administration fees could be zero. Why? Because they're skimming a little bit off the fund and they're skimming a little bit off this other fee. So you need to look at it in totality and see what it's all about. And then what we do is we can plot it, and you can see very nicely how it changes and what it does. For those of you, for example, who have ChatGPT and you have a paid version, you could feed these figures into chat and ask it to draw you a graph, and you can see the difference in the graph. Please, this is not advice, number one. And number two, don't take ChatGPT's answer as gospel. You still need to go and use the correct tools and methodology to work it out. But it will give you a visual as to how the little bit of the difference in fees starts to impact over time going forward. And those are our three silos. So number one, the fund that you've actually invested in, whether you like Alan Gray, whether you like Momentum, Sumtum, or one of the smaller boutique funds. Number two is the advice that you're getting. And number three is the platform, the administrator. On this platform, this administrator, you could also have something else, and that's a sliding scale. So for example, up to R1 million, they'll charge you 0.65%. R1 million to R3 million, they'll charge you 0.55%. And over R3 million, they'll charge you 0.45%. So what it means is that if you put in R10 million, you don't get charged 0.45%. You get charged on the first R3 million, on the next R3 million, and then on the balance, different rates, and it comes out as a global figure. So it's another way that it's done. The third way is, this is where you need to read through your paperwork. And that's where maybe the second cost, the advice cost, is well earned. Because on the EAC table, there are very specific things that you can show that you must show, but you can't show, for example, rebates. You can't show refunds. Certain companies will give you back a certain portion of your investment costs every month, and it's clearly stated in the paperwork. So if you look at their costs and then you look at what they're giving you back, it minus the one from the other, that is the true cost of it, but it's not mentioned in the EAC table. And my advice to you would be, if you come across a scenario like this, and it's a little bit overwhelming, almost too good to be true, how does it really work? Ask your financial advisor to please show you a statement from someone else, obviously to be extremely careful that there is no name, mention, address, email of anybody else, but just to snip out that section where it shows you the refunds of the costs. And there you'll be able to see it very carefully. I was charged 36%, 36 Rand, they refunded me 16 Rand 20, for example, or whatever it is. Those are the ways in which the funds can be done, so can be charged and can be refunded. And then the equal sign. That is the total cost of your investment. You'll see with some companies it changes from 1 year to the next. As the investment gets older, the costs tend to come down because the refunds and rebates and paybacks tend to get higher or accumulate over a period of time. You need to have a look at all of this. And you sometimes need to ask yourself the question and say, this is brilliant, but we're a young family. I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years' time. I can't rely on getting X percentage back in 20 years' time to keep the investment. I need to look at it as, is it worthwhile? Is it economical now? Is it adding value to me now? And if the answer is yes, then you need to have a look at it. And as usual, we're starting to run out of time. So I just want to let you know that in South Africa, safety isn't just a hope, it's a right. And CAP are leading the charge through proactive protection. They successfully cut crime in certain areas by over 80%. This offensive intervention has led to an incredible 351 arrests, preventing over 1,800 crimes this year alone. This year alone, that's in just on 7 months. Now, an expansive transformation, CAP is building communities designed to repel crime. This is your chance to be part of a powerful solution. Power their fight with Safer Together 2025. Visit Safer Together, S-A-F-E-R, together.co.za, or donate today, and that's Safer, S-A-F-E-R, together.co.za. And now on a more uplifting and positive educational system, a bookshop that has been there for the community for absolute ever. In fact, I ran into one of my primary school's teachers the other day, hadn't seen this teacher for many, many, many years. And I reminded him that he encouraged me to take all the spare money I had and go to the Colwell bookshop in Yeovil in those days and spend my money buying books. So the Colwell bookshop's annual sale is here once again. This year, all your products such as Sforim, and books on all subjects, Judaica and giftware, will be discounted by 25%. We are also focusing on sets of art scroll books. Please look at the catalog online and place your order with payment at the discounted price, and we'll arrange shipment to South Africa to fulfill your needs and take advantage of this period sale that starts from the 22nd of June until the 6th of July. 5 more days. Get cracking. See you at the Colwell Bookshop. A book is something that you'll have forever, especially when it comes to art scroll. It is timeless. It is something that you can use now, something you can use when you're older, something that yourself, your children, your grandchildren will use, and they are just an absolute asset to any Jewish family. And please go along to the Colwell Bookshop. When a business like that supports the community and adds value to the community, we owe them that when they run specials like this, We support them because we both win. We bring more education into our homes, which is the backbone of a Jewish family. We support the business and those who work in it and work for it. So please go along, support the Cool Love Bookshop, and supporting CAP is not even a question. It's an integral part of who we are. It is an organization that has made living in South Africa the unique experience it is. Craig, I don't think we're going to have an ad break because I'm running out of time in 4 minutes. So I will just finish off the last bit here and then I'll leave it to you and we'll end off there. So when it comes to costs, to summarize, we've got the investment manager fee, which comes off before you get your return, your advice fee, which is a percentage of the asset in a lump sum investment. It's a percentage of the asset. So in other words, if the money is well looked after and grows nicely, the person who assisted you with that will benefit by being paid more. And then the platform, the administrator, is the same thing. If the administrator says zero, you know that the costs are being paid from somewhere else because no one can run a business with not being paid. But all in all, it's very important that you look at it and that you understand it and that you read the paperwork going forward thereafter. As one very, very successful businessman in South Africa, a household name once said to me, that everybody is entitled to make a living. When a person comes to provide a service, a person is entitled to charge. They have a skill that you don't, and therefore you must respect that and pay for the skill in order to get the service. But the skill needs to be within reason. It's a higher end. There's a lower end. And to end off with the old adage about the person who had a plumbing problem and just couldn't get it right, and plumber after plumber came and he just paid call out fee after call out fee and couldn't get it right. Eventually, a much older gentleman comes, puts his head under, and he has a look, and he says to the guy, "I can fix it, but it's going to cost you R1,000. And the client says, "Are you mad? Everybody else charged me a R300 call out fee. You're charging me R1,000. He says, "Well, do you or don't you want it fixed? I guarantee it that I will fix it and you'll never have a problem." Guy said, "Look, you got me over a barrel. I haven't got a choice. I'll pay R1,000. Gentleman goes out, comes back with his toolbox, pulls out a little hammer, goes up to the pipe and just taps it at the right point. The shuddering stops, the noise stops, the water flows. Everybody's happy, except for the client. The client says, "Do you really expect me to pay you R1,000 for tapping with a little hammer?" And the artisan turns around and says, "No, sir. I expect you to pay me R995 for knowing where to tap and R5 for tapping with a hammer." So look at your costs, look at your fees. Make sure you're getting value for them and be in charge of your destiny when it comes to investing. Craig, as usual, thank you so much for pushing the buttons, making sure the show runs smoothly. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll chat to you next week.